Looking back on 2017, the opioid epidemic was again a major issue, and there were some significant developments this year. Issue came forward right at the start of the year during Governor Baker's State of the State address in January, where the governor touted his administration's efforts to deal with the epidemic, including a 50% increase in spending on addiction services.
And our work on this has not gone unnoticed. An unprecedented 46 governors have signed on to a compact to fight opioid addiction that's based on our efforts here in the Commonwealth.
Governor Baker also served as a member of the White House Opioid Commission, which released a report this year calling the epidemic a national health emergency. Our two reporters who've been covering this story are WBUR's Martha Biebinger and Deborah Becker, who are both with me now to talk about this. Good morning, Deb and Martha.
Good morning, Jack.
Good morning.
So, Martha, let's start with you. The big issue this year was fentanyl, the powerful, deadly opioid often mixed with heroin. It's now blamed for most of the overdose deaths in Massachusetts.
That's right, Jack. 82% of Massachusetts men and women who died after an overdose in the first 6 months of this year had fentanyl in their system. That's up from 57% in 2015. And Jack, that's because fentanyl can shut down the respiratory system in less than a minute. It's terrifyingly quick. Something I heard from many drug users during the year, including Allison and her friend Eddie.
In the past, it was something that you saw happening.
Like, yeah,
you
like
could
the
see the person slow down,
yeah.
Their color would start to turn blue, and then they would go out within 10 minutes or so. Now
you'd be able to pick
instant.
Them up.
You can hear they get so passionate, Jack. They were just talking over each other. And both of them assume now that fentanyl is in every bag of heroin they buy. It's one of the main reasons that five or so Massachusetts residents are still dying every day.
And, Deb, fentanyl was a big part of some of the stories you did as well.
That's right. One in particular, Jack, I spoke with Congressman Markey about fentanyl in May. He, at that point, was calling for more federal funds for law enforcement and more tools for law enforcement to help detect fentanyl and to help protect police officers. Here's what he said about where all this fentanyl is coming from.
Fentanyl and other synthetic opioids like it are principally coming into the United States from Mexico. At border crossings and from China through the mail and express consignment carriers.
And Jack, Governor Baker has called for tougher penalties against those who sell fentanyl that causes an overdose death. I covered a court case this year where a man was convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to 8 to 12 years in prison for selling the heroin that was laced with fentanyl that then caused a fatal overdose.
Martha, despite the prevalence of fentanyl, Massachusetts did see a drop in overdose deaths this year.
Yes, that's right. An estimated 167 fewer residents died in the first 9 months of 2017, Jack, as compared with the same period last year. The estimated 10% drop in deaths is included in a third quarter report from the Baker administration, which is tracking and presenting nearly real-time data on the state's opioid epidemic.
So does that mean we're turning a corner on this?
Well, it's really, really early to say. It may be that we are having the same or even a higher number of overdoses, but fewer deaths because more emergency responders have and use naloxone. That's the drug that reverses an opioid overdose. About half of opioid users say their drug habit started with prescription painkillers, and there are still problems with prescribing practices. I spoke to Katie Herzog from Newton, who was prescribed a powerful opioid after back surgery. When she tried to stop taking it, she got really sick, which she later realized was withdrawal, but none of her providers picked up on it at the time.
I had every single symptom in the book, and there was no recognition by these really professional, senior, seasoned doctors that I was going through withdrawal.
Jack, there are signs of improvement. The Baker administration says that the number of opioids prescribed in Massachusetts dropped more than 30% from 2015 to the first 9 months of this year.
Deb and Martha, what stories stand out to you that you both expect to be continuing to follow in 2018?
Well, Jack, for me, I think it's three main stories. First, it's the quality of addiction treatment, which is something Governor Baker has said he wants to work on with his new opioid legislation. And there's a hearing on that legislation in just a couple of weeks. I did several stories this year about defining what is addiction treatment, about addiction treatment scams, and about the difficulty that some people have accessing treatment, especially for those with co-occurring mental health and substance use disorders. The second story is, I think, the practice of involuntarily committing people to addiction treatment. That's known as Section 35 in Massachusetts, named after the state law that allows people to involuntarily commit someone to addiction treatment. And I toured the state's new civil commitment facility for men, which opened at a former state prison in Plymouth in May. And this is really controversial, Jack, because some people say that asking the courts to involuntarily commit someone to a jail-like setting is not appropriate. On the other hand, some parents I spoke with feel as if it's their only option and they're saving their children's lives. For this story, I spoke with Patty Wehmeyer, whose 26-year-old son was sent to Plymouth.
He has to wear the same uniform as prisoners. He eats the same awful food as the prisoners. I mean, the prisoners did the things wrong to get themselves where they are. My son just has a mental health issue, and so he has to be there because that's the only place he's safe right now.
And Jack, the numbers suggest that in the past year, there are about 11,000 civil commitment requests to Massachusetts courts. And the third story that I think will continue to reverberate in the new year is one that also involves the courts. The Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court is considering a case which questions whether sending a drug user to jail for failing a drug test punishes someone for having the disease of addiction. Attorney Lisa Newman Polk brought this case to the SJC.
This idea that a court can order a person to stop using with a threat of punishment is not grounded in reality. If it worked to punish people for their addiction and for relapse, we would have a cured nation.
And we should hear from the SJC on this case by the spring.
Jack, I expect to follow a lot of that transition that Deb just described more from the medical angle, from treating drug users as a crime to seeing addiction as more of a disease like cancer or diabetes. So patients with heart failure or cancer sit down with a doctor who explains their options and lays out a treatment plan, and patients don't typically have a long wait. With addiction, the path to recovery often looks more like a maze with lots of delays and diversions or real straight out dead ends. So looking at what's working for treatment and what's not, that's something that both Deb and I plan to focus on together in the coming year.
WBUR's Martha Biedinger and Deborah Becker, thanks both for coming in and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to both of you.